move on to the fifth day of the case, 062299, and that is J.J. Schindler versus Joseph C. Seiler. Okay, good morning, Ms. Dittmar.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Carol Dittmar. I'm from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And I'm here today with my client, Dr. Jay Schindler, and his wife, Jean Schindler. Dr. Schindler is currently a resident of South Dakota, and he's made the trip here today to listen to this proceeding. Based upon what I've heard this morning, Your Honors, I think this is probably the simplest case that's in front of Your Honors today. It's a defamation case brought under Wisconsin law by which my client, Dr. Schindler, alleges he was defamed by the named defendant, Joe Seiler. Joe Seiler happens to be employed by Synthes. My client, Your Honors, is a neurosurgeon. The reputation of an individual in that profession, of course, is decidedly important. Mr. Seiler is a salesperson for Synthes. Synthes produces spinal implantation devices, which neurosurgeons of the caliber of my client, of Dr. Schindler, utilize in performing complex spinal surgery. Now, my client, at all times relevant to this action, my client was employed by a clinic in Wisconsin, Middleford Clinic in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And my client has alleged and pled that during the time of his employment, Mr. Seiler went to my client's boss, the chief of neurosurgery, a Dr. Kerry White, and indicated that my client, that Dr. Schindler, again, a neurosurgeon, had paralyzed four patients.
You know, Ms. Dittmar, you are correct when you argue in the brief that the content of Mr. Seiler's remarks are not hearsay. But why isn't whatever Dr. White told Dr. Schindler that Mr. Seiler said hearsay? You're offering Dr. White's out-of-court statement for the truth. In other words, that Mr. Seiler made the alleged statement Dr. White recounted to Dr. Schindler. Why isn't that hearsay?
That's the second level of hearsay, which Judge Crabb ruled that I could not get around, which is why she dismissed the action, indicating that that proof was inadmissible hearsay. It is an out-of-court statement, but it is not offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted, i.e., that Dr. Schindler paralyzed four patients.
If it doesn't prove, prove that he said that in those words, and that's the evidence you're seeking, that he said those things, right?
That's correct.
That's the truth you're trying to get in. That's the ultimate issue. It's a difference between factum probatum and factum rubundum. It doesn't really make a particle of difference because the end result is you're trying to get into evidence that he said something, that it is true that he said it. Not that what he said was true, but it was true that he said it, and that's where you wind up with the hearsay.
You're correct that it's true that he said that statement, but pursuant to Emick and the comments to the Federal Rules of Evidence,
what's your purpose of putting it in then?
Because,
well, why do you want it in?
Because Dr. White, the individual to whom Mr. Seiler made that statement, indicated that he can't remember the specifics of what was said.
But then you're offering it for the fact that he said it. That's the truth, the thing you're looking for, that he said those things. It was true that he said those things, whether they were true or not.
That's correct.
Yeah, but you see, the only thing you have to prove is that he said those things, and that is the ultimate issue of fact, and that's why it becomes hearsay.
But in any defamation action, Your Honor, you're never offering the defamatory statement for the truth of the matter asserted.
Quite right. But you have to offer a defamatory statement where one party or another says it was said. And what you're offering is just that you think somebody said something.
What I have is Dr. White. I believe, Your Honor, it indicated that we were correct in the proposition that whatever that Dr. White could testify until the cows come home as to what Mr. Seiler told him. Okay? That I believe that what happened with Judge Crabb and I is that Judge Crabb said, yes, you can do that. But all that Dr. White has testified to is that Mr. Seiler did bring some derogatory statement to his attention, now to Dr. White's attention, Your Honors. And now Dr. White cannot remember the specifics. Dr. White testified that Mr. Seiler may indeed have specifically told him what these derogatory comments
were. But as far as I can tell, Dr. White never wavered in his support for Dr. Schindler. So even if we assume that Mr. Seiler told Dr. White that Dr. Schindler was a bad doctor, how were those remarks made only to Dr. White injurious in any sense?
Because Wisconsin recognizes slander per se, Your Honor. And in slander per se, damages are presumed without any extrinsic proof of actual monetary damages. I very well may never be able to prove that Dr. Schindler, for example, lost his job because of these statements.
What would your damages be?
The emotional harm of a statement of that nature. Again, I invite your honors to review the Wisconsin case law on this matter. It is strong. Wisconsin recognizes slander per se, under which damages are presumed without any extrinsic evidence of economic damages. Your Honors, I see I've gone into rebuttal time. May I address any other questions at this time? Thank you.
Okay. May it please the Court. Thank you. My name is Anthony Haller, counsel. Here representing both the defendants, Mr. Seiler and Cynthia's.
Did Dr. White actually deny that Mr. Seiler made the alleged remarks, or did he simply say that he didn't remember them?
I'll quote exactly what he said. The question was, directly put, and let's remember that Wisconsin law, that's the starting point for Judge Crabb's analysis, and that's why she got it right, says you've got to plead and prove the specific words. The question posed to Dr. White, this is the plaintiff's opportunity for that proof of the specific words, was, do you recall Mr. Seiler coming in and telling you that Dr. Schindler had paralyzed patients? Answer, no. Do you recall Mr. Seiler coming in and telling you that Dr. Schindler was a bad doctor? Answer, no. That's in Ms. Dr. White's deposition, Exhibit C, to the summary judgment motion. What we have here, and why Judge Crabb got it right, is a straight defamation case under Wisconsin law requiring that specific proof of the particularity of the words said, and the two parties to the conversation, both of whom were deposed in discovery, say it wasn't said. Something was said, but not those specific words, and that's the basis of the case. That's what's pled in the complaint. The plaintiff, in his deposition, was asked if those were the only statements that were issued. He said, yes, they're the only statements. That's at pages 24 and 25 of Dr. Schindler's deposition, Exhibit A, to the summary judgment motion.
And Dr. White could not supply the necessary evidence because he didn't have the exact words.
He does not. And it's critical, as I'm sure this court understands in a defamation case, you must have the specific words because all kinds of things then play off what was said. The issue of falsity, the issue of privilege, the issue of substantial truth. And this court and the district court cannot decide those issues absent the specific reproof required. And Wisconsin law is very direct on that point. So what we have here is a case where the plaintiff brought it but couldn't get the necessary support. So the only thing that was presented to Judge Crabb was Dr. Schindler's out-of-court statement about what Dr. White said to him that Mr. Seiler said to Dr. White. that is hearsay. I mean, that is clearly hearsay under Rule 801, excludable under Rule 802. And this court has, in at least two cases, which are cited in our briefs, Haywood versus Lucent Technologies, and Your Honor's decision in Boulartz versus Prudential, this point directly. And in fact, in Boulartz, Your Honor stated that, yes, the statement by A to B, if A says to B that the person was a crook, which was the issue in that case, then B can testify because the issue is, were the words said? But as Your Honor aptly pointed out, and I could read the decision, that as soon as you get to the next level, which is C saying what B said to him, then that is hearsay because, as Your Honor pointed out, you've got to accept the truth that that's what B said to C before you can get to determining that the words were said by A to B, and that is hearsay. And in a defamation case, for the policy reasons I've expressed, you can't allow that kind of hearsay. First of all, it has the potential for opening the floodgates of litigation because any plaintiff could then say, well, so-and-so said to me that the defendant made a defamatory statement. And then you couldn't analyze the case with respect to falsity and privilege. And there are constitutional overlays. I don't want to get into the issue of presumed damages, but I would submit that the Supreme Court's decision in Gertz has clearly established that you can't have presumed damages anymore in a defamation case, even for a private plaintiff, absent evidence of malice. So the basic point is Judge Crabb got it right. With respect to other arguments that were made on appeal, they were not made to the district court. This is an abuse of discretion case on the issue of admissibility of the hearsay evidence. That's clearly, in this court's view, a matter that is subject to an abuse of discretion review. Judge Crabb simply applied Wisconsin law, applied the well-regarded decisions of this court in Lucent and Prudential, and simply did not get it wrong.
She generally follows the rules of this court insofar as they're consistent with common sense. But.
Well, and I think her decision also, if you review her the way she relayed the undisputed facts, I think she understands what this case is about.
I just quoted another Wisconsin judge.
So I don't want to belabor the point. I think she got it right. I don't think that this court can look at the other arguments because they were waived. They were not raised to her. It's an abuse of discretion standard. There clearly was harm. And unless the court has anything else, I would request that Judge Crabb's decision be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Heller. Mr. Barr.
Thank you, Your Honor. A nuance here that I think it's important for Your Honors to understand is that when I deposed, and I did the entire discovery in this matter, when I deposed Mr. Seiler, I asked him if he had ever made any derogatory comment about Dr. Schindler, made it very, very broad, and he indicated no. He later came back after caucusing with his attorneys and indicated that he didn't say anything negative about him, but he indicated to Dr. White that other people were making negative comments or derogatory comments about Dr. Schindler. That Seiler didn't say it directly, but Seiler conveyed that other people were making negative comments about Dr. Schindler, came out in White's deposition as well. So Dr. White did indeed say that no. At no time did Joe Seiler indicate that Dr. Schindler had paralyzed four patients. However, Dr. White did indicate that he recalled Mr. Seiler telling him that he had overheard derogatory comments about Dr. Schindler. And he also testified that Joe Seiler may have indicated the specifics of the derogatory comments, but Dr. White simply didn't recall what they were. And that's at the appendix 28 through 31. Now, Dr. White also indicated that he immediately went to Dr. Schindler to relay these comments. And when asked why, Dr. White stated that a surgeon's professional reputation is very important. And that's why he thought Dr. Schindler needed to know that Mr. Seiler was generating this information. Now, what we have here is an individual to whom We allege a defamatory statement or series of statements was made and now simply can't recall what the specifics were. Now, what I suggest is that what Dr. Schindler's statements and the recount of what Dr. White told him provide that missing information. Your Honor has indicated that may be all well and good, but it's still hearsay. But it's still not offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted. In addition, I submit that it's surrounded by other indicia of trustworthiness. Mr. Seiler testified that shortly after the conversation with Dr. White, that he, Mr. Seiler now, received a call from his boss telling him, did you say anything bad about Dr. Schindler? And if you did, please stop it. You know, why was this going on? Why would a call of that nature happen if indeed the details of these derogatory comments were not made paramount or patent to Dr. White? In addition, another doctor, Dr. Ebersold, another neurosurgeon in this department, also called Mr. Seiler and told him to just leave Dr. Schindler alone. And finally, you know, why is Mr. Seiler even making comments of this nature or engaging in a conversation of this nature with Dr. White, Dr. Schindler's boss? I asked him that in deposition, Your Honors. I said, he said, well, he was doing this because he was concerned about Dr. Schindler. And I asked him, well, then why the heck didn't you just talk to Dr. Schindler? And he had no response. Your Honors, my client has been defamed. A statement of immense damage has been done to him, given his profession as a neurosurgeon. And I submit that he's entitled to his day in court. And I'd ask that Your Honor so rule. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gilmore. Thank you, Mr. Haller. Case.